Harper Perennial and Harper Audio present We the Drowned by Carsten Jensen, performed by Simon Vance.
For Lizzie, the love of my life. 1. The Boots. Many years ago, there lived a man called Lauritz Madsen, who went up to heaven and came down again, thanks to his boots. He didn't soar as high as the tip of the mast on a full-rigged ship. In fact, he got no farther than the main. Once up there, he stood outside the pearly gates and saw St. Peter, though the guardian of the gateway to the hereafter merely flashed his bare ass at him. Lauritz Madsen should have been dead, but death didn't want him, and he came back down a changed man. Until the fame he achieved from this heavenly visit, Lauritz Madsen was best known for having single-handedly started a war. His father, Rasmus, had been lost at sea when Lauritz was 6 years old. When he turned 14, he shipped aboard the Anna of Marstal, his native town on the island of Eru. But the ship was lost in the Baltic only 3 months later. The crew was rescued by an American brig, and from then on, Lauritz Madsen dreamt of America. He'd passed his navigation exam in Flensburg when he was 18, and the same year he was shipwrecked again, this time off the coast of Norway near Mandal, where he stood on a rock with the waves slapping on a cold October night, scanning the horizon for salvation. For the next 5 years, he sailed the seven seas. He went south around Cape Horn and heard penguins scream in the pitch-black night. He saw Valparaiso, the west coast of America, and Sydney, where the kangaroos hop and the trees shed bark in winter and nod their leaves. He met a girl with eyes like grapes by the name of Sally Brown, and could tell stories about Foretop Street, La Boca, Barbary Coast, and Tiger Bay. He boasted about his first equator crossing, when he'd saluted Neptune and felt the bump as the ship passed the line. His fellow sailors had marked the occasion by forcing him to drink salt water, fish oil, and vinegar. They'd baptized him in tar, lamp soot, and glue, shaved him with a rusty razor with dents in its blade, and tended to his cuts with stinging salt and lime. They made him kiss the ochre-colored cheek of the pock-marked Amphitrite, and forced his nose down her bottle of smelling salts, which they'd filled with nail clippings. Lauritz Madsen had seen the world. So had many others. But he was the only one to return to Marstal with the peculiar notion that everything there was too small. And to prove his point, he frequently spoke in a foreign tongue he called American, which he'd learned when he sailed with the naval frigate Neversink for a year. "Given them belong me Lauritz Madsen," he said. He had 3 sons and a daughter with Carolina Gruber from Niger, Rasmus, named after his grandfather, and Espen and Albert. The girl's name was Elsa, and she was the oldest. Rasmus, Espen, and Elsa took after their mother, who was short and taciturn, while Albert resembled his father. At the age of 4, he was already as tall as Espen, who was 3 years his senior. His favorite pastime was rolling around an English cast-iron cannonball, which was far too heavy for him to lift. Not that it stopped him from trying. Stubborn-faced, he'd brace his knees and strain. "Heave away, my jolly boys! Heave away, my bullies!" Lauritz shouted in encouragement as he watched his youngest son struggling with it. The cannonball had come crashing through the roof of their house in Korskal during the English siege of Marstal in 1808, and it had put Lauritz's mother in such a fright that she promptly gave birth to him right in the middle of the kitchen floor. When little Albert wasn't busy with the cannonball, it lived in the kitchen, where Carolina used it as a mortar for crushing mustard seeds. "It could have been you announcing your arrival, my boy," Lauritz's father had once said to him, "seeing how big you were when you were born. If the stork had dropped you, you would have gone through the roof like an English cannonball."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?